Hello, everyone. This is the beautiful 14th day of April, and I'm just so excited to be here with you. The weather is great where we live, and I hope it is for you as well. I think it's pretty good, mostly over the country. Don't know about the other parts of the world, and we do always have at least one or two international callers. Oh, and we are very pleased and grateful to have Nancy with us. So say hi, Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday. I'm so happy to be here. I love you all, and we're going to have a wonderful time today. I'm so glad y'all are showing up. There's more and more coming online, so that's exciting. We've got some people in the queue. I hope everybody had a great week, and I know that this is going to be a great blessing for you today.
Oh, yeah. Our old familiars know that we don't get rolling for about 5 minutes, so, you know, they don't have to put down the sandwich too fast.
It's true.
And, you know, and we're kind of like that as a group, you know. We're formal enough to get to be respectful for time and appointments and boundaries. You know, we're formal enough for that, but we're informal enough just to be human with each other. And I love that.
I do too. It's very real, and that's just such a good thing, you know. Get to be right there with each other and open our hearts and be vulnerable and share. So please join us today. And if you've got something you want to share, a wonderful blessing that's come your way, prayer answered, or something that you need, that's why we're here today.
Well, you know, Nancy, I think it's worth repeating again and again is that we're always available to blessings because our whole life has been blessed, but we don't always reach for them. We don't always look for them. Or God doesn't just knock on our door and shove it down our throat. We would otherwise never ask. So when you get a blessing, let everybody know. You know, everybody loves to hear about somebody else's blessing. You know, really, if you think about it, most every novel that's ever been written, almost every movie that's ever been conceived, directed, and produced has been about somebody receiving a blessing. I mean, really, that is the eternal story. We love to hear about it. And they're out there. They're all around you. I think our most important mission with this community, me with you and you with each other, is to make ourselves more available to the blessings that are just waiting to anoint your life with the goodness of God and the glories of nature. Mm-hmm. It's all here. It was created from the very, very beginning. It's really amazing how vast the potential of nature is, how enormous the potential of this universe is. And that potential just keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. And there's, go ahead.
And it's beautiful to have a community that celebrates each other's blessings, you know, because sometimes you can be with folks that aren't really happy for you about that sometimes.
Nancy, I think it's not that they're not happy for you. I think what it does is it causes them to introvert and think, well, why am I not getting blessings? What's wrong with me?
Right.
In other words, they get the negative side of the formula. And that can, it can happen in the workplace so easy. Somebody gets a bonus and you think, well, where's my bonus? You know, I work hard all month. it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People's insecurities are stimulated. But when you're in a community that really loves and supports you, and you know they do, their blessings are your blessings.
Yeah.
Because you know that they're going to support you even more. Oh, pardon me, just a moment. They're going to support you even more because of their own conviction that blessings and miracles are possible.
That's it.
Now, what I was just about to say is the greatest confirmation science could ever present to us that our universe was loaded with we can't even imagine the amount of potential that is all that was here from the very beginning, from the first day when God said, "Let there be light." Okay. Is that Isaac Newton, who was probably the premier scientist and earliest physicist of the 1900s, 1800s. Yeah, no, the 1900s, I'm sorry. Get that backwards a little bit sometimes. He identified the function of the black holes, which are just newly estimated, not even seen yet, but estimated to exist, and the entropy of energy, that the energy in this universe was consuming itself. It would just be a brief matter of time until all of the original energy of this universe would be consumed. And the universe would be shriveling. Okay. It's a theory just about as wrong as most of the green environmental theories are wrong today, because the larger picture is not understood. He did not understand the greater picture. What we now know through examinations of the universe, Hubble telescope and other exploration devices of capture and record, is that our universe is basically now about three times larger than it was in the days of Isaac Newton. We are expanding, and we're expanding so fast. Two centuries ago, we were virtually embryonic compared to where we are now. If we continue expanding, there's no reason to believe we're not, because the potential is, like I said, it's unmeasurable. You can't measure it all. It's expanding. What will it become? Think of yourself. Let's just telescope back into your life. And just think, 3 days after you were conceived, little baby, future birthing being, an embryo in your mother's womb, could you think by any measure of possibility you would be who you are now, the way you are now?
Yeah.
You know, thinking the thoughts you think, having the ability to do the things you do, driving cars that an embryo couldn't even imagine existed. We are embryonic. My friends, we literally are embryonic. There is no scarcity. And Yeshua really covered that base strongly in Love Without End. When he would speak about it, he would speak with a voice like, if I could annihilate these thoughts, I would. If I could explode the thoughts of scarcity, I would, and I would show you how much even they will expand in this universe. There is no scarcity, my friends. And those who promulgate scarcity in any form have personal agendas to control you or someone or something else through the belief in scarcity. Because only scarcities can be controlled, my friends. Unlimited power that expands exponentially through its own reserves of energy, cannot be captured, cannot be controlled, especially not by evil. It can be directed by life, and it's facilitated by love, yes, but that's not the same thing as put it in a basket and control it. You know, that, first of all, if you believe in scarcity, you want to control it, well, you got to figure out what size basket you need to put it in. And that basket has to have a lid on it. And then you've got to have a place to go store that basket. Because otherwise, you're not controlling it. Unfortunately, one of the great mistakes in parenthood is thinking their job is to control their children. Their job is to facilitate the growth of their children, growing into the highest and greatest values they can hold, developing all of their talents, developing their heart, their mind, putting their soul in charge of their life, and then just tell them, go get it, guys. The world is yours. That's the role of a parent, not controlling, not suppressing, not putting in a harness and capturing for personal and private agendas. But we could say this about everything, my friends, everything. A good business manager will not take his employees and have the desire of limiting their abilities and their influence to the point that they're more controllable. That's not good management. They should be so inspired, so empowered in their work, so guided with opportunities for progress and earnings that they're going to do the very best work they can. And you just say, go get it. Go get them, guys. You know, let's make this the best company in the world. You know, expansion is the way of this universe. Mm. And those who think it's the other way around are either very stupid or they are very, very controlling for one reason or another. You know, I kind of shudder to sometimes I have to get my little cats dipped. And I don't really like to do that, but I've got to control the flea population because we don't want it in our house. But a doctor explained it to me once. He said, well, every flea here is capable of producing 2,500 offspring in its life. Ah, what? Oh, my Lord. Heavenly Father, did you really intend that much expansion of fleas? And then I learned the same thing about mosquitoes and flies and how many insects are populating the world. And I went, well, you know, if we were wiped out, DNA would be preserved. Even human DNA would be preserved inside the bodies of mosquitoes that had a nice dinner the night before. And I thought, you know, nobody's going to capture this world. Nobody is going to capture this universe. It's going to keep expanding. And so I think that's a good thing to think about on this beautiful spring day and direct our attention toward what is it about yourself that you can expand. Actually, you know, this is a fundamental principle of healing, and that is the how to restore your wholeness. The parts of your body, mind, heart, and soul that are in good, superb, supreme state to multiply will overtake and replace and repair any part of your body, heart, mind, and soul that's in a decline for any reason whatsoever. You have the total ability inside yourself to heal. Then when you add that to the will of God, the love of Christ, and the support of everybody else that loves you. How could you fail? How could you? The only way you could is to give up and to not be a believing, producing part of the available miracle. This is why Yeshua asked everyone he was going to heal, do you believe you can be healed? And when it was done, your faith made you whole. Mm. You have to participate to the degree that you've got your heart, your mind, and your soul turned around in the right direction. And I think the eclipse we went through last week is a good example of how even if the sun gets blocked, it's only for a couple of minutes. Even if something negative comes into your life, it's passing through. It's just like an eclipse. It's going to be over. And are you going to pick up on the other side? Did you go into it knowing it would be over? Did you really stand tall and look at it and say, wow, it's awesome? Can you do that with what you're passing through, whatever it might be? Can you look at it and say, wow, this is amazing. I didn't think this was going to happen, but I'm more awesome. Just get out of my way. I'm going to kick up some dust. And you go and you pick up some stardust. You throw it at the problem. Because you are unconquerable. Those who believe they are conquerable are conquerable. They're right. Those who believe they're unconquerable are unconquerable. They're also right. Just be decided. You know, being right is a powerful motivation for all human beings. We want to be right. Just be careful what you want to be right about.
Right.
Okay?
That's great.
If you think something won't work, you're right. If you think it will work, you're right. I think that's a good point to close on, because that's your way, that's your participation in the receiving of blessings.
Ah, so good. So much abundance. I love that, Glenda. Yeshua said that. I mean, he said we wear so many blinders, you know, to the abundance of life that we eventually sort of believe in it all. And so I love that you're telling us to take those blinders off and see it, you know. So good.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, and that applies to competition also. As for blinders, I'll say a little word of wisdom from back in the days when I was an equestrian, a competitive, not a trail rider, a competitive equestrian. I had 3 national championships. Okay. But I didn't have racehorses. I loved them, and I would go to the races, and especially the quarter horses, because I own quarter horses. But they would put blinders on the horse for the race if the horse had competition problems. And there's a psychology. Some horses would be accelerated into a higher performance if competition was coming up on them. So they would leave the blinders off of that horse. These blinders are just an attachment to their bridle straps that keep them from looking, from having peripheral vision, because the jockey did not want a horse that is overly sensitive to competition to have peripheral vision. He wanted that horse to keep looking ahead. And it's interesting because some horses benefited by competition, and other horses did not. The ones that didn't would see another horse coming up on them and say, oh, my God, I've already lost the race. I mean, really, that was their attitude. Put blinders on them so all they can see is the racetrack. If they heard footsteps coming up close, they would bolt forward to get ahead of those footsteps without actually seeing that another horse was coming up on them. So I think we all have a unique strategy about how we keep ourselves motivated to look forward, to extrovert and apply our confidence that we're gonna, that we're on the road toward winning, and we keep ourselves there. I don't think there's just one motivational strategy. Everybody's a little different. Some people just need to keep looking ahead and don't compare themselves ever to anyone else. And then other people really draw energy from looking at other people trying to draw up on them, and they'll say, oh, no, you don't. Get out of here. You're going to be smelling my dust, you know. And so it's a, I would say learn your motivation. Learn what motivates you, because whatever motivates you is what's going to propel you forward. Now, the difference between motivation and faith is motivation is kind of external, shall we say. It draws its energy from external situations. Gotta make the money for Monday morning, etc., that sort of thing. Faith is what causes you to do the best thing for you. If you know that what's going to keep you motivated is just to stay focused and move forward, then your faith is what tells you what to do. It tells you how to draw power and guidance from your soul, from the Holy Spirit, from Yeshua, from higher sources, so that you go the way you need to go. And you're not going to find all the answers from motivational courses, because they're kind of one size fits all. And if you've ever had a little failure with courses like that, that's why. But you'll never have failure with your faith. That's your path to success, because your faith will tell you what's right for you. And it will put you in touch with the Holy Spirit and with God your Father and Yeshua, the keeper of your heart. And you're going to be a champion just for making that decision.
Beautiful.
Okay, Nancy. Nancy. Let's call somebody online.
Oh, we've got Elizabeth here. Hi, Elizabeth.
Oh, hi, Nancy. Hi, Linda. I just wanted to ask for a couple of blessings today. One for a friend of mine, Juliet Herman, and one for myself as well. We're both suffering from digestive issues. It seems there's a lot of people I know right now who are going through stomach upset of some kind. I thought I might have a bacterial infection, but I don't think it is. I think it's something releasing. I think the eclipse here, it passed over here in New York, and I felt a bit strange since then. I don't know whether it's just, you know, on other levels of consciousness, things, I feel like I'm releasing old negative energy and things. So I was just asking for a blessing from Yeshua for both Juliet and myself to just release what needs to go and come into the new and health, new spring, everything's renewing and healthy bodies. So I'd just like to ask a blessing for the both of us for that, if you wouldn't. If that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're on our list and always in our hearts.
Thank you so much, Glenda. Thank you. It's a beautiful sunny day here. I hope it is there too. We've had so much rain and very volatile weather up here that feels like maybe it's all clearing. Everything's clearing out. I don't know what effects again, we need Tony to know what the eclipse did on so many different levels that we're you know, if you don't know astrology or all of that, there's, I'm sure there's so much going on the planet right now, you know, that we just, you know, that do affect our bodies. If you're in tune with nature and in tune with the cosmos, I think it does have an effect on us for sure.
Well, it does, but I don't think it's, I don't think it's an effect that we have to be an effect of. We look at it and we say, you know, on the other side of that, I feel different. I think there are opportunities opening up for me, maybe some doors have closed for me. We look at that. We make decisions about it. We move on. You know, the fact is there are, I believe there are four a year. We don't sit underneath all of them. In fact, it's very rare that one is on our particular path. We're not going to have another one for 20 years or more, a little more. And so we're not always on the path of them, but we assign, I think, a little too much importance about being on the path of them, because what's affected is the earth. What is affected is the earth, and then the earth reverberates, and it affects the oceans. It affects the tides. It affects all of nature. And then as a person being a part of that, of course we are affected. We, you know, we're all part of the great whole. And what an eclipse is really a cosmic nighttime of a few minutes, a cosmic nighttime, not a nighttime of the earth revolving, but a cosmic nighttime. And it's not as ominous as some people try to make it, because there's, we're living in a world right now where if anything can be exaggerated, it will be, because I think people are so on edge about changes happening in the world and changes happening in their own life, or not happening appropriately as they thought they would be, that we exaggerate so many events. There are challenges in the world, and they make us nervous. They make us edgy. Have you ever noticed that when you're, and I'm not speaking to you, Elizabeth, but everybody, when you're in a state of anxiety for whatever reason, and the phone rings, you jump, or the doorbell rings, and you get nervous, or anything else that, you know, you look outside, you say, oh, my gosh, the cat got outside. How did that happen? I got to go get her. She might run into the street. We exaggerate everything when we're anxious. It's just a human psychological factor. And right now, the anxiety level of planet Earth is so high that we tend to exaggerate everything. And I encourage all of you to be as much as possible in as much peace as you can, and think about also perhaps redesigning the schedules of your day and night so that they work better for you and help you gain a little more control over anxiety. You know, people have always been sick occasionally in their life. Some of them have their time to go. It happens. It's part of life. And when I was a child, people didn't get anxious over that. They would attend to the sick probably with more attention than today, because they had more time to do so. When someone was passing, they probably spent more time with them and even celebrated the passing more than today, because it was less expensive, there was more time to give, and more resolution of feeling. We rush through everything today, my friends, and then we get nervous because, well, I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I got two words for all of you. Calm down. Yeshua calmed the storm to show the apostles. They were so, so anxious about the clouds coming in and the waves rolling. And he just said, be at peace. And he calmed the storm. He didn't say to them, now figure out what this means. This has got to mean something. We got to figure it out. He didn't say that. He just said, peace be into the storm. And those are words I think would be valuable for a lot of us to have.
Yeah, very good.
And
yeah, thank you, Glenda.
And this was not directed at you, Elizabeth.
No, I understand that. No, but it's something very positive and wonderful for me to hear. So thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's a state that I would say about 90% of the people I know are in. They're nervous. Mm. They're nervous about what's going to happen. And the media has just played up 2024, the time of Nostradamus, 2024, the time, it just goes on and on. The great one was going to come. The apocalypse is going to come. I have never seen in my life more exaggeration of potential occurrences. The Antichrist is coming. Mm. And I go, give it a break.
Yes, exactly. Give it a break. That's my my feeling as well. Yes. Yes. But that was good to hear. Thank you. Again, that was just good for us all to hear because it is pervasive all through everything. That's why I've stopped watching the news and everything because there is that level of just people just need to get a grip. And as you said, Yeshua said, just calm down. And, you know, when you're within yourself and calming your emotions and calming your feelings, you know, mm-hmm. It's all, you know, everything's okay. It's not as drastic as everyone's making out by any means. It's just, you know, over the top, I think. So that was very good to hear. Thank you.
And the more of us to do that, better.
Yes, I'm trying to meditate more and just being consciously peaceful more. So that was just yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I just looked up online because I wanted to just get clarified on a couple of things I brought up impromptu and I hadn't really thought about being prepared on it. Isaac Newton lived in the 1700s, which means he was in the 18th century. Okay, another thing I want to clarify is there are a minimum of 4 eclipses in a year. Okay, and they're global. They affect everything. And most of them, if you just think, okay, 4 a year. Did you see this much exaggeration in the past every year? I don't think so. I don't remember it.
No, not at all.
Why this time? Because it could be capitalized on. People are nervous. It's 2024. Oh, gee, this is going to change the world. No, it's not. It's not about changing the world. It's a natural event. It's not something that was brought about by extraneous, intervening potentials. It's a natural event. It's as natural as day and night. It's just solar night, cosmic night. And, you know, things happen in the night. So, yeah, it could bring about some powerful changes. There was a solar eclipse right before Hurricane Harvey struck our home, almost destroyed it, affected our life tremendously and started the whole decline of Larry's health from that point until his leaving. So I could say, well, yeah, I can trace that back to that eclipse. But the rest of the world didn't suffer that. You know, we tend to take our own issues and try to take them into nature. And we get very, very upset that something as powerful as that could have personally affected us that greatly. Maybe it wasn't that at all. It was just a natural course of events. You know, personally, I am very, very upset and concerned about ecological damage that's happening in many ways to our Earth, like the buildup of trash in the ocean waters. That's a horrible, damage to our oceans. The chemical damage to our Earth by agricultural farming, I mean big agro. There are a lot of things I could be upset about, and actually I am, but I don't need a larger platform to tie these to. I don't need to say, oh, the Earth is just going to, the poles are going to melt, we're going to be underwater, it's the end of the world. You know, when you're upset, have you ever known a person who was angry that didn't exaggerate?
Yeah.
People exaggerate when they're angry. And people are angry about, and justifiably angry about some conditions. But we don't have to exaggerate them to the point that the entire modality of the world is altered because somebody is angry with a particular problem. The answer is, let's go fix that problem. Let's go fix that problem. And there's not a single problem on this earth that is not fixable. We can fix it. We can change the chemical, the agricultural chemicals. We can change farming. We can change the way agricultural production is done and not use what we're afraid of as justification for more wrongful control. Let's go fix things that are wrong. That's what Yeshua was saying. He said, okay, that's wrong. Go fix it.
Yep. Be practical.
He wouldn't say, now exaggerate it and make it into something bigger than it is. He would never tell you that. Never.
And that just leads to more sorrow and suffering. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, exactly. Let's multiply the suffering. You know, if there's some people suffering, let's all suffer. Oh, really? No, let's go help the people who are suffering. There is a logic to life, my friends. And when people are angry, they tend to lose their logic. And it's something we can understand about even children who are the most innocent among us. They get mad at something, and if that anger doesn't work right away, if mom doesn't fix the toy they broke, they'll be throwing a tantrum. 30 minutes later, there's that tantrum, and it's just all over the place. And the whole house has to get upset because Johnny broke his toy. Well, sorry, maybe mom should have fixed it faster, should have dealt with it faster. We learn as we go along, but things don't have to accelerate into tantrums, my friends. They just don't. It's ignorant, it's disruptive, and it's applying human emotion for wrongful reasons. And it's time we started growing up. Really.
Yes.
I look at the time before the 1500s, before about the Renaissance in the West, but it was the same timeline pretty much all through Asia and into China. I look at that to some degree as the childhood of human culture, of course, human beings predate that into probably a prenatal stage. But from about the Renaissance on, we have behaved like a bunch of teenagers. We exploit without thinking about consequences. We compete to the point of enraging others. We cause wars that are needless. We champion the heroes, even if they don't deserve it. We forget about the injured. You know, we've been acting like a bunch of teenagers. And we got to grow up. It's time. It's time we just grow up. And if there's a major change in humanity that I pray for, is can we please finally become adult children of God? I don't expect sainthood. That's a long ways away. But how about adulthood? That would be a huge step forward in caring for one another, in being responsible for our shared life and our shared planet. Well, okay. Elizabeth, you inspired more than I think you expected. But
well, I know, but it was just so great, and I'm just so grateful that what came out of my mouth put you on that path, and it was wonderful. I'm very, very grateful. Thank you.
Well, actually, he had something to say, because I don't think my mouth would have fully spoken all of this.
Right. For sure.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay.
We love you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. We have Caroline. Hi, Caroline. We're so glad you're here.
Hey. Hi. Well, it's lovely to see you.
Hi, Caroline.
Hey,
Can you hear me?
Okay.
I'm just going to on the side
there
like this. How's it? Is that
there
better?
We go.
Yeah. I know.
Yes.
I know you're always sharing that beautiful ambience with us. But unfortunately, we don't get to hear your beautiful voice. So
I've got two things that I'd like to ask for blessings for. One of them is there's a friend of my son's who's also living in an apartment of mine, and he lost his job. He just got married and he lost his job. And he's a foreigner on a work visa, so he has to find a job within 2 months or he goes back to India. His name is Kanhar, and I would like to put a blessing out there for him to find a really great job and hopefully one that enables him to continue staying in the same place where he's been staying. So he's really under the gun to find something quickly. He's
okay.
A very experienced tech guy. And, you know, what does he do? He does project management, that kind of stuff. So I would like him to get a really nice job and have a very successful marriage and happy marriage with his new wife that he just brought over from India. So it was pretty sad that he just brought her over from India. And then he was suddenly let go of his job because they were cutting back. I'd like to put a blessing in for him and also a blessing for my son whose wife is pregnant and he's trying to find a new place to live here on Maui. And I'm hoping that everything will work out well and that he'll find a place where he can actually get his work done as well as a place where he can live, where his wife is going to be happy to have a baby, and that will all go well.
Great.
You know, the baby is expected in September. So that's my son and his wife. So those are the two
Caroline.
Blessings. Thank you.
Yes, congratulations. Is this your first grandchild?
Yes, that will be my first grandbaby. So
okay, it's going to be wonderful.
So, anyway, so those are the two blessings for Kanhar and his family and for my son Alex and his family.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
And the baby. Do we know
the baby.
Is it a girl or boy?
He doesn't want to look. I think that he's probably going to leave it until the last minute to find out.
Okay.
Fine.
Well, that's a great surprise party.
That's right. It's like the old days.
Yep, like the old days. That's
when it
right.
was a surprise. Yeah.
Exactly.
So thank you so much, Glenda. And that's really
welcome.
It.
And thank you so much for your support of all that we do and the blessings we offer to the world.
Well, I'm very, very honored to be a part of it.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
We're honored to have you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Carolyn. Okay, Glenda, we have, let's see, we have Stormy.
Say, I just had a personal eclipse while you were talking. I waved my hand across my face, and everything was okay because I was in my light, I was in my angel light, and I was in God's light. Everything's okay.
Of course, it's always that way, Stormy.
I thought we just don't always know it. I just waved my hand across my face. I just had a personal eclipse. Everything's okay.
And yeah, and that's how fast it is from a cosmic perspective, even for the sun and the moon. Yeah, it's really that fast. So thank you, Stormy. And
I've been thinking about how I have my light and I do have my angel light, but there are times that I have God's light that he uses through me for others to be able to see themselves. Like when I put my hand on someone's chest and say, love is who you are, they get to truly experience who they are. And that's mm-hmm. God's light coming through me to them to show them who they truly are. And they awaken unto themselves and say, wow. And I says, now you have the rest of your life to unfold who you are, which is love is who you are.
That's right. Thanks, Stormy. That's great work.
And, so we just keep reaching out. And, you know, this blessing call is about God's light. It moves up in that higher mm-hmm. realm. We have our light, angel light, and then we have mm-hmm. God's light. And that's what this energy of this blessing call is all about. It's imbuing
yes.
and encompassing and receiving the light of God that is within us and that we are able to receive fine-tuning mm-hmm. inspirations that we wish for ourselves and for others. So I'll just say next.
Thank you for that, Stormy.
That was a lovely presentation, Stormy. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're always in your life.
We were so glad you were here today. Let's see. I'm going to move on. This question thing is messing up here. Susan, you're going to have to call back. I think I just bumped you off. I apologize for that, Susan. So if you could just call back in, that would be really great.
I think we bumped off someone else accidentally also.
Well, if I did, let's see.
Much too long.
I'm going to try, Stormy, to push next question, but something's not happening here. I'm going to mute you, Stormy. Let's see. Susan, can you come on back? I hope you're out there.
You just brought me on.
Oh, I did. Let me try. Go to the next one. Okay, we have no one in the queue. So let's start over, folks. I apologize for that.
We lost two or three people. And Stormy, your next did not work.
So anyone that was in the queue that I believe it actually was just Susan because I had unmuted someone. Let's see. Let's see if Susan's here. Susan, I see that you're there. I hope you'll come back on. In the meantime, thank you, Stormy. Thank you. You're always bring us that great perspective about God's light within us. Here you are. I'm going to open up Susan's line. We got you online, Susan.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. So I want to talk about one quick thing about competition. You know, years ago, I realized my style was not to look around. And I remember my guide saying, we want you to imagine that you're a horse with blinders on, so that you can stay focused. We have a job for you, and we need you to be able to stay focused on what we want you to do here. This is a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that you they do that to a horse so they're not distracted by peripheral vision, and that's what we want from. So that's what I was chuckling, because that's my style, you know. And
exactly.
So like said, Glenda, everybody has their own style. Every horse, you know, some need to see the side, and it motivates them to move. Not Susan. Susan needed the blinders.
I agree.
You know.
I agree. I mean, and the same thing about slapping the horse with your. I'm very much against the use of spurs on the side of a horse, but still, a technique for accelerating them is to clap your heels onto the side of the horse and give them a few little whaps on the,
mm-hmm.
you know, on their side. And that will accelerate some horses, and others it will be like, well, what did I do wrong?
Yeah. It's so interesting.
You know?
Yeah, not unlike people. I mean, we all have a different
exactly.
style. And you got to
exactly.
find out what that is and go with it.
Exactly. And that's what I was encouraging everyone to examine and honor. What works for you? You know, some people can stay up late finishing a project, and that really works for them because they accelerate their production so they can sleep, and they can sleep in peace. Other people, you know, and they would worry about it if they stopped midstream, and they wouldn't sleep, so you might as well keep working. Other people just kind of burn out late at night, and you're spinning your wheels, accomplishing nothing. And if you just go to sleep and wake up with a fresh mind in the morning, you'd whip it out in 30 minutes. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, one size does not fit all when it comes to motivation, okay? It does
or
not.
Or many things. But, you know,
yeah.
I had a really difficult weekend. I think all of you know I've been, you know, struggling. My son
yes.
calls me a million times, and he's gone through this rough time with his wife, and things kind of came to a really crescendo this weekend. And his wife has a lot of, like, manic, really, and, she, you know, she's, you know, issues, and she's she strikes out. You know, she's violent.
Mm-hmm.
And So this weekend, oh, my God, things were going on, and I was praying. I said, I need God. I'm not feeling it. And what came to me was what you told me about the snake, about calling animal control. And then, you know, I prayed. I think I prayed to you, Glenda. I'm sure I prayed to Nancy and people I know. And I said, you know, I didn't even know who would call, but my oldest son and I are very connected. And he spoke to my son, Matthew, and he said, he looked online, he says, why don't you call the hotline? It's free, and the abuse of,
domestic abuse.
Yeah, thank you. And he gave him the number, and thank God, you know, he did call. And so my son, who's in trouble, was telling me what was said and this and that and the other thing. And I mean, I just prayed. And then what came to me was the next time this happens, well, my son wound up, my sane son, older, called his sister-in-law and said, if you put your hands on him one more time, we're calling the police. And when I spoke to my son who's in trouble, I said, that's very interesting. I haven't spoken to my oldest son. But what finally the light came and it said, you ought to call the, you have given him a year. He was told that he should move out. No, he doesn't want to. So I said, as a mother, he's been a very difficult child to raise, the one who's in trouble. He's a wonderful, wonderful kid, but he's very willful. And so I finally took the reins. I said, as a mother who was a married child with a child, I said, what can I do? I said, you do what you always did with this kid. You near had to sit on him. So when I spoke to him on the phone, I said to him, let me tell you something. The next time this happens, you are given the choice to move out. You choose not to, that's your choice. But there will be police called. And once that happens, it's all over. All over. It's on record. You are going to be called to attention. Your wife will be called. Social services, whatever it's going to be called, you have a son. You have the opportunity to move out now or not. But I can promise you, as your mother, that call is going to be made. I held off for a year, but no more. Animal control is being called. And, and you're done. You're done. So I suggest you do that. But if you don't, you're done here. Police are coming in on this. And you know what? You have an opportunity now, but you will not have an opportunity then. That's it. He's done some wonderful things. The kid is going to therapy. And I see, yesterday I saw him because we had a family function and he came. And the kid is like, must be a very good therapist because I see he's seven, such a beautiful change in him. And he said yesterday, and which he's never said before, Grandma, Mommy hit Daddy yesterday. He hits Daddy. And I said, I know. And this is going to stop. And, we're going to make sure we do something about this. I know. And that's got to be an awful thing for you to be, viewed around. But at least with his own mother, for the first time, he said, I am angry at you. He stood up to her. I feel that he's seeing a good therapist, thank God. And this kid, my kid, is going to get his ass kicked by a police if he doesn't, that's it. You're done, Matt. You're done. You're in this as much as your wife. You're done. A police is going to, that's my job. And the peace that came over me because I wasn't powerless. And because I will take action and I know what that action is going to be. And that's it. I avoided it for a year because I knew that's going to entail a lot. But we're done here. We're done here. Done. Done. I'm not reading it in the paper knowing that there was something I should have done and didn't do. Animal control is going to be called. That's it.
That's
and
it.
I mean it,
Good for you. Good for you, Susan. And you know what? This is going to have a positive impact on your health. You've been stuffing this down. There is nothing wrong with good, clean anger that is directed toward a change that needs to happen. God gave us that emotion, and God doesn't give us bad things. Yeshua turned the tables over in the temple, and it was for a purpose. He was not an outrageous, dramatizing maniac. He just made one act of anger because it needed to happen. It needed to occur. And good work, Susan. Good work.
Thanks. Well, what a difference I felt. I said, you're not powerless, and this is the action you take. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah. You followed your guidance. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. That was well done.
Nice.
And the thing is, the ultimate result was goodness and peace.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how you know. Right.
That's
after.
How you know. You
yeah,
bet.
Right.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing.
Okay. And I'm glad you listened to my snake story.
Oh, yeah.
That was
up. I said, you know why she was telling you? I wasn't ready. I knew what you were saying then, but I wasn't ready. But I said, that's it. You're ready now, and that's it. animal control's coming in here.
You're all going to remember
a lot of us act like animals. I think it's appropriate.
That's right.
Oh, that's awesome.
When we hit each other, that is the animal side of our being.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. And kids do not need to witness that. Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. We'll make some changes here.
Yeah,
okay, good
you.
For you. Good work, Susan.
Well, the blessings are coming your way, Susan, and for your whole family.
Thanks for all of your help, everybody. Thank you.
We love you.
We love
you.
Sure do. Thank you.
Well, Glenda, we have Joanna. Your line is open. Welcome today.
This is Joanna, and I'm calling to because Glenda, you told me to report about how the solar eclipse was for me, because I basically had it was my birthday as well, but it was in the same day, and basically and my solar eclipse I was born with a pretty much the exact same horoscope, and it basically was just very peaceful. There were clouds in Missoula, but every time I went out to see if I could see the eclipse, there was a little hole just for me, I think, and I saw the eclipse three different times because every time I went out there, it was that. And the amazing thing is I felt just really peaceful. And I don't think I loved what you said about the, you know, getting all excited about those things, because it felt like it just clarified to a greater degree my momentum and trust and my faith in what's going on with me as I'm evolving, you could say. And it was a gift for me, but it was not anything scary or even huge. I think it's something that's been even before and after that's been happening with me. So thank you for asking me to do that. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it affected you in a positive way. You know, the way I see it is sometimes the universe just says hello to us. Just say, hello, I'm here, we're here together, glad to see you again, you know? And I feel really, really good when the universe just says hello to me. And I look around, or the trees, or a beautiful spring day, or something else that is just lovely. And it doesn't have to be, let's put it this way. I don't need drama in my life. I need peace in my life. I don't need disruptive change in my life. I need growth in my life. And so I feel that when nature is being gentle and progressing in a positive way, I'm getting exactly what I need. I'm getting peace. I'm getting growth. I'm getting positive affirmations of who I am, where I am. And I'm glad you took it that way, because it was winking at you.
Yes, that's really true. Yeah. It was wonderful.
You know, I think anything, I look sometimes at little leaves on the tree. I'm looking out the window right now, and they're just kind of shivering. The back side of the leaf is a little silvery, and the front side is green, and the breeze is making them shiver, and it's like they're giggling. You know, you can put any kind of emotion into your own experience that you want. You can put it there and see it for what it is, for what it means to you. And getting back to reality, again, there's not one size fits all. God created reality, and it is what it is. But we create our experience of it. And that's we don't create God's reality. We're not going to go in and change the molecular structure of the mountain. But we can make the mountain easier for us to climb because we think of it as a positive, wonderful opportunity to go higher up and get a better look of the world. When I lived in Sedona, one of the houses I lived in was backed up to a very popular, great red rock hill. And I would go out early in the morning to watch the sunrise, and I would climb up that. It was pretty high. Actually, it was a pretty good climb, like about, I would say, maybe a 10-story building. You know, pretty good climb, but it was an easy climb because the slope was not severe. And I would get up there and look over the whole city and the countryside around. And it was so wonderful. And some other people would come out to visit me, and I would tell them that I did that. And they said, oh, how do you do that? I could never do that. And I would say, well, that's why you never do it.
That's good. Yeah, that reminds me of something that I happened to me in Glacier Park. I was way up hiking, and I sat on a big rock, and I looked across the valley, very far away, to this beautiful mountain, and I just said to myself, oh, I wish I could just fly over to that mountain. And I heard the words, you don't have to do that. You are that mountain. And I just started crying because it just felt like just so comforting. It just felt like I'm not alone. We're all one.
Yes, we are. And we can share reality, all parts of reality, as if it were ourselves. Except what limits us are our fears, our judgments, and our misunderstanding. When you greatly misunderstand something, you can't wrap it around yourself. You can't be there for it or with it. So I work on cultivating understanding of as many things as I can and quelling my fear, seeking peace, growing with opportunity, reaching out. And it is really quite amazing how much easier it is to live inside larger and larger spaces and be part of more diversified events. You know, the thing is, you cannot politically bring about diversity. You cannot when people are closed to their own self. They cannot even barely be themselves, much less anything else. And we try to legislate diversity. My friends, it's not going to happen. Now, diversity is a great thing to happen. But you've got to be able to extend yourself into it. Welcome opportunities to embrace something different than you previously knew it to be. And you reach into it. You travel either spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or psychically. You travel into the spaces that you want to understand a little bit better, and you become one with them. And then it's easier to have lots and lots of diversity in your life. As you do that, then it becomes easier for the world to embrace diversity. It's one of those jobs that has to happen from the inside out. It's just not going to be manipulated from the outside in. Otherwise, you're going to be forcing people to be what they're not, what they don't want to be, who they don't want to be around, what circumstances they don't want to deal with, and you just have conflict. It's got to happen from the inside out. The desire to actually have an expanded experience and the empathy that it takes to be able to join with other types of reality and actually understand them and to see the blessing that that other reality is bringing to life. Other people are contributing to life things you wouldn't want to do. But aren't you glad they do them?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joanna.
Yeah, that was great. And happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sound okay. So young. You have a young heart.
Well, she is young.
She is.
Just think how young we are compared to the 1,000 years we could live. We're embryos.
It's true.
It is true.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you for being with us today and part of our community. We love you, Joanna. And have a great week.
Oh, I'm having a wonderful time right now. Yes. Thank you for all this. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Glenda, our queue is empty. If anybody wants to pop in, I would like to ask for a blessing before someone might jump on for Jana and Jason and my daughter and my son-in-law. God knows exactly what they need, so I don't really need to go into detail, but would just like to add them. And then also a friend, a yoga friend of mine, his name was Christian, and he passed away on the 1st. He was just 35, and I went to his services on Friday, and I will say exactly what you just said, Glenda. Everybody contributes and adds, and he certainly brought an incredible presence and light and touched so many of us. So I just want to have a special blessing for his soul, his family, and just everybody's sad but also in joy because they were able to know him. So I just wanted to add Christian. Yeah, and we have a caller. We have someone from Vermont. I'm not sure who this is.
Hi, it's Dee Dee Tracy.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi. I realized I never added the star before the 61 earlier.
Oh, okay.
Look again. Hi.
You're welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. And thanks for the wonderful conversation. I'm loving hearing it. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'd love to send blessings to my neighbor and friend, Mike Higgins, who is awaiting some test results from a growth he's had for as long as I've known him the last few years on his temple, on the right side of his temple. And I've noticed that it was getting bigger and told him, you really need to check this out. So he's just gone through a biopsy and they're saying he has to wait 2 to 3 weeks for results. I'm like, that's crazy. And I know how hard that is to wait. So I'm praying for good results for him and would love extra blessings there. And then I had posted something on Facebook last week, which I rarely do, and it was a near-death experience of a woman who had been an atheist and how it really shifted her. And I have so many people respond in such positive, beautiful ways after the posting. And several people called me. They emailed me. They started messaging me. And, yeah, and one of them was a dear friend from years ago that I hadn't talked with in years. Her name is Cindy Legacy. And she just told me in conversation how challenged she's been with her 16-year-old grandson and her daughter and separation in their family, and just really was wanting to ask for blessings on her family and the coming back together of her grandchildren into her life and her daughter into her life.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So
yeah. I got another couple quick ones if I can.
Yes, sure.
I lived with a family in Ohio back in 11th grade, and my host parents, I was there for 6 months. They were very Baptist and very, I spent a lot of time in church with them, and I was balking at it. And I lost a lot of faith in that year myself, just because I felt there was prejudices within them. I had a friend who was black in high school, and they were saying, oh, no, you can't go to the movies with him. You know, your name will mean nothing in town. And I've judged them for that for a really long time. And I've been in touch with them over the years, and I just I'm feeling guilt that I had judged them, and my host mother just passed, and I'm just asking for forgiveness for myself and just blessings on her life and for her grieving, my two host sisters and their families in their grief.
You will be forgiven. You are forgiven.
I feel that too, but I also just feel badly. You know, we get these stories of, you know, victimhood or when we felt wronged in our lives and how we hold on to those storylines. Mm-hmm. And just really want to release them. So for me, I would love lessons in that direction to help release any sense of victimization and working to forgive those in my life who have wronged me.
Would you like a vision for me to? Okay.
Sure.
Now just imagine you're creating a kite, beautiful kite, and then every, you know, it'll have the wooden spines, kind of like an umbrella, you know, that holds it open after it gets into the wind. And on each span of it, you put something on that you're holding on to that's not what you want to hold on to. You're going to put that on the kite. Okay. You're going to go out to a nice high prairie or open space. You're going to run holding that kite until it catches the wind. And then when it's at a nice lofty place, you're going to cut the string.
Uh-huh.
Cut the string and watch it fly off.
Nice.
That's how easy it is. But it is important to do every part of the step I gave you. You've got to be explicit. That's why you write it down. You've got to be explicit about what it is you're holding on to. Because you might think you're holding on to a judgment, but you're really holding on to an insecurity. You might think you're holding on to your judgment, but it might be a judgment that was placed against you. It's important to write down everything you would put on this kite.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fly the kite and you let go of it.
Nice.
You want to fly away. Yeah.
Thanks. It actually is a very, very lovely and loving visualization because it will actually bring out the child in you.
Mm. I like it.
And what you really want is recovery.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You want freedom. You want liberation.
Amen. Yes, I do.
Okay.
And lastly, just that my sons and my grandchildren, blessings that they awaken to the love of Jesus. And I just want that for them so much now. And
so beautiful.
And for me to find my faith so strongly that I have no doubt that my next job I'm going to have is going to be a gift to humanity and to myself and to God.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much for coming on and figuring out how to get on. So everybody remember, it's star six.
Okay. Yeah.
Then one.
Thank you.
Okay. And that will bring you on the board. But we're getting to the point where we need to close the board now. And we'll see you in the realm of spirit.
Yeah. So, thank you, Dee Dee. Okay, Glenda,
right. Everybody
clear the board.
Get ready. Everybody, we're going to move out of the Q&A mode. Okay, everybody, let's get ready. And by getting ready, let's get out of our thinking brain. Let's just get into our listening spirit, our receiving spirit, our free spirit, our spirit that is open to receiving, being gifted, being blessed, and allowing ourself, meaning our soul, our mind, heart, body, spirit, and feelings, to receive. And we receive unconditionally. It's not, you know, the last thing we want to be right now is the child at the Christmas tree that throws away a package because it's not what you wanted. You know, we probably all, I don't know that I ever threw a tantrum on that, but there were times when I would open a package for mom and dad and I would thought, but you didn't give me anything I wanted. Well, God knows what you need and he wants you to have that. And sometimes he gives you what you need before what you wanted will even be able to yield a bounty for you. Sometimes we're not ready for what we want, but he will always give you what you need, always. And so just be open to receive. We're going to start out with you. You can be in any position you like as you're receiving the blessing. I think that sitting is the preferred position for a very good reason, that your head is pointed upward for receiving energy from cosmic space. And your feet are positioned toward the ground, receiving energy from the earth. And your spine from the top of your head to your sit upon is a direct channel for the flow of energy. And we want that. We want that direct flow of energy through your spine. So what we're going to do now is we're going to get our body all limbered up. We're going to get the blood flowing by some deep breaths. And we're going to do some stretching, which will activate your lymphatic system and your lymph needs to be moving as well. Your breath, your blood, your lymphatic system, and your cells exchanging energy in an intercellular way, so that there's a beautiful kind of exchange and flow going through your body. And it's okay that it's very gentle. I don't want you to be out of breath, just like you got back from, sprinting around the block. So this is all very gentle, but it's got to be very real and happening to you. So let's start with an extremely deep breath. I want you to breathe through your nose so that you will take the breath up in your sinus area as well as in your lungs and through your rib cage. So let's take that deep, deep breath. Yeah. Allow it to throw your head back. Expand your ribs. Extend your diaphragm to make your lungs as open as possible, and hold it for a second. Now, blow it out through your mouth. We do that because the mouth is the best at expelling air. It can expel at greater velocity than your nose can. So when we're breathing for energy, it should always be through your nose and expelling through your mouth. It's okay in your walking around life that you probably do a little bit of both as you just sit and do things and walk around. You're probably inhaling from both directions, but we want to be very specific here. Let's take another deep, deep breath, okay? Hold it for a second. Oh, now blow it out. Imagine you're a whale. And you have a blowhole. You're going to blow it out and push up with your diaphragm, down with your shoulders. Express that air out. Let's do it again. In you go. Out you blow. And now let's do our little four square breath. That's just an ordinary walking around kind of breath, except we're going to be mindful of it, and we're going to see ourselves in the breath in four stages. First, we're going to have a gentle outflow of breath that we're going to give into the world, okay? Now we're going to pause for a second while that breath we gave is being received. Now we're going to take a breath back in to ourselves, to replenish ourselves. It's a gentle breath now, just an ordinary walking around breath. But we're going to bring it into ourselves mindfully with appreciation and gratitude. And give yourself a minute for it to be received. And we call it the four square breath because you're going to number it. You breathe out, that's one. You pause, that's two. You bring in a breath, that's three. You assimilate that breath into your body, that's four. You do this all the time. But let's do it in such a way that we're actually mindful of that breath, because it becomes more of a blessing to us. We see the giving, the pausing, the receiving, and the gathering in sequence. You can calm yourself in terrible traffic without distracting your attention at all. You can calm yourself at your desk in a workday without looking as if you've drifted off into space. And it can create the most profound change in your disposition, because you're aware of your breath. The first thing you ever did when you were born is you breathed. The last thing you do before you leave is you breathe. And all the way through your life, your breath tells the story of your life. So let's do it with grace, mindfulness, and appreciation. Now I want you to just stretch out a little bit. I think the best thing to stretch first would be to rotate your shoulders. You just got through stretching your lungs. So let's move our shoulders around and extend up one arm at a time as far as you can take it and pull your hand back so that you're stretching your hand and opening up the palm of your hand to the other one. Stretch it as far as you can. Bring your hand up so that you're stretching the palm of your hand again. Now, let's do your shoulders one more time. Let's lean your shoulders forward and now pull them back. Okay. Having done that, we're ready to move our neck around. Let's move it to the right and to the left. And then down, forward, and stretch it back. Okay. Let's get busy with our spine. Okay. I want you to turn your shoulders to the right. So you twist your back toward the right. Now, twist your back toward the left. Lean. Let's do it again one more time. So you're a little more limber. You do it even better. And now back to the left. I want you to bend forward. Stretch that spine just a little bit. This is not calisthenics. Just do what's comfortable for you. But give it a little bit of stretch, okay? Lean back. Give it a little bit of stretch. All right. And now we're going to focus on our hips. Let's turn it to the right, okay? And now we're going to turn them to the left. Let's bend forward just a little bit and bend back a little bit. Hold on to something. It could be a door jamb or the back of a chair, so you can extend a leg and do a little windmill. That will finish limbering up your hips. First the right, then the left, okay? Bend your knee up as far as you comfortably can. First the right, then the left, okay? Now stretch your leg out forward. Just stretch it and point your toe so you stretch the top side of your leg. Now pull your toe back toward you so that you stretch the back side of your leg. Now let's do the other leg. Okay, little windmill. Get it moving. Okay, now stretch the leg and pull your toes back towards you so that you stretch them. And now point your toes. Okay, good. All right, now you're ready. Sit down in a comfortable way. Feet on the ground, head toward heaven. And I will begin my prayer to Yeshua. That will be followed by you receiving the blessing from him. The blessing givers and I will facilitate that conveyance. Not coming from us, it's coming from him. But we help you receive it. We help you. We help it follow in a straight line target toward you. Okay. Yeshua, Lord of life, brother to us all, our Redeemer, our Teacher, the one who loves us through it all unconditionally, the one who's here to help us make the most of our life,
in every way we can. We thank you for your loving care, for your companionship and your presence, for being omnipresent with each of us and among us all. Wherever we are joined in your name, we know that you are there for each one and for us all. We extend this belief and this faith to include all of our human family, that where we are today, everyone is included. Everyone is touched by you. And we stand in faith with our prayer that that be true. We ask that you care for those who are in a deep state of stress, discomfort, or pain. We ask that you care for the children, both born and unborn, and through all the ages of their childhood, that it may be a lasting pattern of the heaven they still and will always have within. We ask that you put food on our table and on the table of those who are hungry, especially. Take from the abundance of life and give to them. We ask for healing, and not just healing of the body, but healing of the heart and the soul, that all can be well. We ask for your blessings now for those who've come today to seek your love, your care, and your promise fulfilled. We present all of their requests to you and for their loved ones and for the loved ones of their loved ones, that the whole chain of love may be honored. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? Let us convey the energy of this blessing and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's for you to receive. And I want you to go and lie down for at least 7 minutes. So that I want you to be horizontal so that nothing is above anything else. And the Spirit of the Lord can pass upon your body, on all parts of your body, and write the blessings upon it. Be fully blessed. Be richly blessed. Have a wonderful week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.